Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at viking.com.
You're listening to Numbers by Barron's. It's Friday, October 15th. I'm Nick Jasinski, and I'm here with the numbers you need to navigate the markets this morning. Our first number is 41. That's how many quarters in a row Domino's reported U.S. same-store sales growth. The streak went all the way back to 2011. Until last quarter, that is. The world's largest pizza chain said Thursday that same-store U.S. sales fell about 2% compared with the same period a year ago, while analysts had been forecasting growth of 2%. But that miss requires a bit of context. The comparable quarter last year came at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, when most people were stuck at home on their couch watching Netflix and ordering delivery from restaurants like Domino's. Same-store sales soared 18% in that period. So compared with 2 years ago, Domino's U.S. same-store sales were still up more than 15% last quarter. And the company's international locations extended their even more impressive streak to 111 straight quarters of same-store sales growth. Domino's stock ticked up almost 1% on Thursday. The next number up is 10,000. That's roughly how many workers at 14 of Deere's U.S. facilities went on strike yesterday. The agricultural and construction equipment giant's workforce is represented by the United Auto Workers Union, whose members voted against a new 6-year collective bargaining agreement earlier this week. The strike at Deere follows other recent work stoppages at food companies Kellogg and Mondelez International, as well as by Hollywood production workers and at Kaiser Permanente hospitals in California and Oregon. It's a tight labor market out there, and many workers have more leverage over their employers than they did before the pandemic. And when it's difficult for companies to replace unsatisfied employees, there's more pressure for them to respond to their own workers' demands. Don't be surprised by news of more labor actions in the weeks and months ahead. Our last number is $53.2 billion. That was the value of Harvard University's endowment at the end of June. It was up 34% from a year earlier. MIT's endowment surpassed $27 billion after jumping 56%. Penn's hit $20.5 billion after gaining 41%, and Duke's soared 56% to almost $13 billion. A soaring stock market had a lot to do with those huge one-year gains. And the results from universities' venture capital and private equity portfolios were even stronger. The stellar outcome is a big win for the so-called endowment model, employed by many universities and private foundations. Championed by Yale University, the approach includes big allocations to illiquid asset classes like venture capital and private equity, and relatively little in stocks. That was a losing strategy for most of the past decade, when a years-long bull market made public equities the place to be. But alternatives like venture capital have now proved their worth over the pandemic and closed a lot of that gap. And that's Numbers by Barron's for Friday, October 15th. I'm Nick Jasinski, and we'll be back with more numbers you need to know on Monday. Have a great weekend.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at viking.com.